It is another hour of truth. It is now afternoon here in the eastern annex of the Fisherman Ministries. Let's see what's on people's minds. I have Phil and Scott with me, and James is out there in Georgia. So it is a...
Well, good afternoon, everybody.
Joint effort.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, everybody.
So, what do we think so far? And I'm looking for help with audio levels. I'm hoping that everything is working well.
Well, you know, Phil brought up a very basic thing in the service. You know, we all want Jesus to be our Savior, but we don't make Him our Lord.
Well, you know, there is a point that it just came back to mind as you just said that there, and one of the things I remember in the service when I was talking about, you know, a suggestion to go about doing something, and I'm going, "Oh, I can't do that." You know, I give, no, that's too big. I mean, well, Phil, we know you can't do that, but the Lord can do that. The Lord can perform that in you. And you know, if you look at how you love others, or how you operate, or any of these things, Paul, you read something in Philippians today.
Yep.
And that was in Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And, you know, I look at that when we go and cry out, "Lord, I mean, He answers the prayer, Lord, strengthen me to do Thy will." Oh, Lord, it's Him that works that within us.
If he didn't, we're toast.
Absolutely.
Absolutely toast.
I mean, the love that we love, when we love with somebody with the agape love of Christ, I mean, whose love are we loving them with? Not our own. We don't have any of that to own. So in these things, when I talk about the Lord in me can do these things, it's because all that stems from the Lord. So when all that stems from the Lord, who gets the glory? When all comes from the Lord, it's Him that gets the glory.
And
it's all about Him.
This is part of the provision to keep us from flailing around in the dark, because we're not gonna wake up one day and just be pleased to know and do the will of the Lord, because it's not in us. It's not in us. If He wasn't working in us to change that which we are into that which can please Him, then we're screwed, because we're not going to get there on our own. It just, that's the whole point of the law, was to show that you're not going to get here this way.
Yeah. And how you please Him is you choose to believe Him.
Yeah.
You're going to choose to believe that He's going to give you the love to love others with. He's going to choose you. You're going to choose to believe Him. He's going to give you everything you need to go forward in what He has for you. Yeah. In that sense of you're part of the body. Or what is it that He has for you that day? Or whatever the case may be. And it's not up to you. I mean, the freedom in that. I mean, we're talking about freedom today. The freedom in that is so awesome. I mean, if you just take a look at it, I mean, that, where's the chains? Where's the bounds? There is none. Because it's not your issue. And how that thing works out, it's not your problem either. I mean, if a situation works out, you ask for healing, and it may be coming right then and there, or it might be that the Lord sends somebody your way that is able to do a doctor able to do surgery to fix you, or whatever the case may be. That thing got done. Who cares how it happened? It's praise to Him.
Amen. Often we judge the way in which the Lord blesses us, and we judge it wrongly.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just our own stupidity. I mean, if you pray for something and you get the answer, well, praise God, there's your answer. Accept it, move on.
Amen. Amen. It's like taking a look. I mean, the Lord's my provider. The Lord's my provider. If His means of providing me is through me having a job at Gerald's Tires and Brakes, well, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the provision. Mm-hmm. I've been caught many times where I have been in the wrong place there. I haven't been praising God for the opportunity I'd had. I've been murmuring and complaining.
Yep.
Don't say it ain't so.
Murmuring and complaining of how He's providing for me. So what? Praise God.
Yeah. That's how we are.
Yeah.
Until we choose to take control over that. And submit it to the Lord.
Amen. But James, go ahead.
That's where we need to do all things as heartily unto the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. And you know, he'll honor that. I mean, I was talking about Hannah this morning. Honored that faith. I mean, he honored Abraham's faith. He honored all that. He honors those that believe him and trust in him.
He honors faith, period. You see it time and time again.
Man, yeah.
That's just a fact of the matter.
Amen.
Done. He honors faith.
That was how Elijah got his attention.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amen. And way too often, and you brought up that point earlier, there, James, at the very beginning of the show, where you said a lot of people like the Savior part, but not the Lord part. You see, what happens is, and where we get in trouble, and how this kind of can relate to the children of Israel, is that the children of Israel, to step out in faith is actually uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to our flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, when the children of Israel were in, even though they were in bondage and getting whipped, oh, well, they ate. They knew when their meal time was. They knew what they had to do. They knew all these things. But when they were out in the wilderness,
this minor inconvenience of being whipped and beaten all the time.
Oh, and in the bondage and change, in a bondage and slavery, and Pharaoh killing our children, and minor inconvenience. But hey, that's comfortable because I at least know what I'm looking at.
I know what's expected of me, and I know what's coming and what's going to happen. But you get into that point where you're about to talk about where you actually have to trust the Lord in doing anything and have that faith. It's an unknown. Gosh, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? What's going to happen? Well, if you have the faith, you know that it will.
Amen. And however that comes about, who cares?
What's it to you?
Praise the glory to Him. Amen. He provides either way, and how that comes about, who cares? If it's raining bread from heaven or somebody comes gives you a meal.
Shouldn't matter.
Shouldn't matter. And that's the place with us. While we step back, what keeps us from going forward and letting Him be Lord of our life is because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, so we tend to go back to Egypt, our flesh, and try to see and perceive to know what's going on. Yeah, that's it's kind of a bummer this way, but I know what's going to go on this way. And Lord,
at least we used to have leeks and onions.
Who cares? Sure. And what the Lord had was your own land. Here's it, the promise of God, a nation, a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Your own land that you keep. Here's the promise to them. No, we prefer it back in Egypt. Then when we go and we refuse because we're scared, a lot of times fear is the thing that we idle. We listen to fear over the Lord. And it's because it's uncomfortable in the flesh. We don't grab a hold of that promise of God. We don't let Him be Lord of our lives. And then if things get messed up, well,
ain't nobody's fault but your own.
Right. I mean, what can you expect? What can you expect? But see, when you set your affection on those things that are above.
That's and the check up from the neck up.
That's what that is. Check up from the neck up.
Set your affections on things that are above. See, it doesn't matter. I mean, it just doesn't matter. What matters is what he wants, his agenda, and that his will be done. You know, you look at Paul the Apostle. He went through from place to place. He got stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, all these things. But what did you see? The fruit of that was so great. Hell yeah, that's uncomfortable. I'm sure that's uncomfortable stuff there. But man, did you see the word of the Lord, the gospel being preached out there? Absolutely. Did you see churches and people come into that life of Christ that they was available to them? Absolutely. And see, if you love your own self and you prefer your comfortability, you won't be a part of that. You won't be a part of that. You won't grab hold to the promises of God. It won't happen for you. See, that's a choice you make. It says, set your affection. That's a commandment. That's an order. Not if you feel like it, not if you feel like it. No, it says to set your affection. That's something you choose to do. The responsibility is not on God to do that. The responsibility is on you to choose that. Now, he's the one that gives you the love, amen. He's the one that gives you the power, amen. He's the one that gives you the sound mind, amen. He's the one that gives you the will to do his good pleasure, amen. See, none of those things you own.
But if you don't want it, he ain't going to give it to you.
But if you don't choose it.
Where is the boasting?
Yeah, where is boasting then?
It is excluded.
I mean, we love him because what? He first loved us. Where is boasting in that? We are participating. Ha, there's the word. Spit it out.
Gosh, geez, that's
impressive.
Like four syllables. That's impressive.
Praise God.
Sounded like you were making them up again on in the service, but you know that those things happen.
Praise God.
There's just not enough words in the English language to adequately communicate what you have to communicate.
That sounds good when you say it, Pastor. How much I would love to agree with that, but I know that's a bunch of BS, really.
Yes, it was.
But praise the Lord. Thank you, I mean, for the, you know, the come down on that. This is not the truth. But we are participating in what? Somebody else coming and preaching the gospel to us. What do we have to boast of? Nothing.
Absolutely.
But it is our choice. I mean, even the Lord gives us the freedom of the flesh that we're bound to. Where is the boasting in? It is excluded. Nothing. Nothing to boast of here. But it is up to us to choose to grab, to receive that gift. I mean, it's like, man, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. Lord, I don't want to die and go to hell. You don't have to. But Lord, I don't want to. You don't have to. But I don't want. You know, it's right here. Take it. I'm giving it to you. But he can't turn around and make you go, oh, I don't? Thank you. I mean, he's sitting there telling you, you don't. Here's the gift. Here's the gift. The Lord's good.
One of the things Steve was hitting on was out of Ezekiel 33. And the watchman. And he said, and it's scary to think of
it. Yeah, you're scaring me already. You said that, but go ahead.
But he said the reason that Paul was running around like crazy, just, you know, he's telling, he'd go to the Jews in the town and preach the gospel to them, and then he'd go to the Gentiles. he was scared of that blood being on his head, and his testimony there was that I be free of the blood of any man. I have done my job. That's not a word for it. But that was his testimony. Something generally like that.
It's in Timothy, and I'll look it up as you continue.
You can. Because if we had his fear of the threat to the watchman that doesn't tell the truth, the pastor out there that doesn't speak the truth to his people, if you feared and believed the word of God about blood being on your head, it would drive you and motivate you just like it drove and motivated Paul. And you look a whole lot more desperate to make sure that everybody crossed your path got the gospel. Because if not, you know, you could really be in a bad way with their blood on your head.
Well, I tell you what was a news flash for me, and I'm going to read in Timothy, and I don't know if this is exactly where you were trying to pinpoint here, Paulie, but in Timothy 4:6 it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That keeping of the faith is that one was that believing on Jesus Christ that we've talked about, where you actually go and step out, regardless of how you are or how of any of those things, because it's all about Him, His grace, and His gospel. And you go forward in that calling which the Lord's called you to do, because He's good in what He has done. And you can step into that because of Him. Now, the thing that scared me, Paul, you're reading about the watchman. I was going through, coming back, a little transition for me has happened, and it's just a more of accountable role that I have. And one of the things that I remember, I'm going through reading Samuel with the girls, you know, praise God, this is awesome. Look at, you know, we reached a point with Hannah and the promises of God and how that thing worked out for Hannah. It's like, man, praise God, seeing these points. And I started reading about Eli and that man of God coming to Eli, not a prophet, a man of God coming to Eli and telling him the judgment that's going to come down on all him and his whole family. And it's because he honored men above the Lord. He honored his sons above the Lord. And I tell you what, that's scary. I mean, see, you know a truth. You're accountable for that truth. You're accountable. Men, you're accountable. For your children, wife at home. Are you doing that which the Lord directed you there? You're accountable. If you don't, that blood is on your hands. You have that which the Lord gives you to tell others and to preach the gospel and all these, and you don't, that's on your head.
Just, you don't get let off because, well, I'm not a pastor, so I'm good. No. You fill that role in your family. You may fill that role in your work.
Absolutely.
And you, it's like, well, I'm not an evangelist. Well, you are if you're a Christian.
Yeah, absolutely.
You preach the gospel. You tell people about Jesus. You give them your tell him what things he's done for you.
Remember that minister? Go ahead, I interrupted.
No, I was done.
Okay, that minister that that came and delivered, that Jesus delivered the devils on, he was all chained up. And what do you go tell him? Oh, tell him what good things God has done for you. Mm-hmm. Look, everybody's called to be a minister.
Yes.
Not a pew warmer. And you have a testimony of the Lord, and you don't go share that testimony with others as opportunity is around you, you're accountable for that. I mean, you're all called to be ministers of Jesus Christ. We all have a testimony.
The only thing pews are for is a meeting place to worship the Lord. to come together as a body and worship the Lord.
Amen.
They're not places for you to anchor yourself to.
Absolutely. And we don't even have pews. We got chairs.
That's right. And it's definitely difficult to anchor yourself to, especially if you don't have any padding, naturally.
Well, but that's why they're there.
To keep it on the edge.
That's right.
Edgy. They've discovered me. They've broken down the system.
But look at that. If you will turn, well, I remember hearing that thing, if you will turn from your wicked ways and repent, all those things that were against you will be forgotten. And I'm not having the exact word.
I think that's Ezekiel 28.
Yeah, well, I heard Steve talking about it at the end of his service.
Nah.
It's not too late.
Maybe in 33 as well.
It may be. It's not too late to turn. You can choose right now who you're going to serve. You can choose right now to partake of His plan. You can choose right now to walk as He would have you walk in the gospel. And it's a freeing thing. Might be uncomfortable in the flesh because you don't know how it's going to all work out or what's in front of you, but who cares? It's freeing.
You know,
it's not something for you to worry about.
You're sitting there, you understand as you learn about the way the Lord's ways. And there are those prayers that when you pray, you get reluctant because what you're about to pray for, the Lord's way of giving you what you're praying for, is to bring forth tribulation so that you can learn to trust Him.
Amen.
And His faithfulness in that.
Yeah, and it's not...
You have an experience now that you can take and run with, and you have a hope that there's yet somebody who will hear the gospel.
Amen.
Tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. And experience worketh hope.
And hope.
Hope leaves you not ashamed.
Maketh not ashamed.
Because you have a message. You have a gospel. And it is about what you're about. And again, if we had the understanding of that Ezekiel 33 principle about the blood being on your head that Paul had, we'd act different. We'd act like Paul.
Yeah. We'd fear the Lord.
Fear the Lord. Absolutely.
Fear the Lord to go and do that which you're accountable to do. And look, you don't need to know top, bottom scripture. I'm not saying don't read it. Learn it. Get to know Him. Know His ways. You grow by hearing the Word, reading the Word. You grow. That's what I'm getting at. But if you don't have to understand the whole Bible completely to go minister others, look at that one guy. He just had a testimony. He was delivered from the demonic spirits that kept him in chains. They had to put him in chains and fetters because he couldn't be controlled. He was delivered. You have that? You're a minister. Go share that with somebody. That's all you need to know, what the Lord's done for you. And it was something else that you would, when you were talking, that reminded me of something, but that point is gone right now. Oh, praise the Lord.
Something about it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living God.
Oh, you remember Ricky used to talking about, remember the Matrix? You take the red pill, everything will go back to the way it was. You never think. You take this one, you're going to find out the truth. You need to find out the truth, be accountable for the truth. I remember leaving, and the particular time I left the ministry. And I knew the truth. And all the partying I did that seemed fun, and all these things became not fun. I mean, it hit me at moments like, I'm partying, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to go in detail of all the stuff I was doing. Then all of a sudden it'd be hitting me. What are you doing? Conviction. What are you doing? These good times started becoming smaller. Smaller. To none. To terrifying. I mean, praise the Lord, they were. I mean, it provoked me to turn around.
That's as grace to you.
That car says take both pills and see what purple does.
I'm thinking that'll be a confused mess.
Well, isn't that what we have today in America?
Yeah, absolutely.
Confused mess. I mean, they know the truth, but they prefer the lie. Mm-hmm. There you are.
I mean, that's what I'm actually describing. That's the mix of it.
It's kind of more like my character to be going around and saying, "Dad, gum drugs are defective. They used to work. Now they don't. That's defective drugs. We got to get some better ones." But, you know.
Paul, this is 100% pure. What?
Yeah, well, that's bad.
Praise the Lord.
But Carter's not right. You know that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, if he was right, I don't know if he'd be listening to us.
Well, yeah, that's true. the examples of people who seem to have in Scripture gotten the same full disclosure that Paul got. Even Elijah ran around doing things per Lord's instruction that did not make any sense at all.
Go over, hang out underneath that tree.
Yep.
I'll feed you. Ravens fed him.
They keep that meal and oil coming until it rains. Crazy. Stuff to just, if you're doing these things, you know, today, there used to be a charge. I don't know how, if it still exists or not, but it'd be like, we're arresting you because you have no visible means of support. We have laws against vagrancy. That's Elijah. You know, today he'd be thrown in jail for. I wouldn't want to be the one that did that because it could get ugly. But
well, it was quite ugly when they those men went to go try to take him up on the hill. It was quite very.
To arrest him, essentially.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fire came down and consumed him. Until that one wisened
King
up after
more.
Two.
Fire came down.
Look, I had a wife and family. I thought,
but the third one was smart. Mm-hmm. Look, man, I know who you are. The king sent me up here. Will you come with me? Oh yeah, no problem.
Because he recognized his authority.
Amen. He was just wanting them to ask.
He humbled himself.
Yeah, he humbled himself.
That's the difference. And, you know, he may have been some big wig as a captain of 50 or whatever he was, but
Elijah, nothing. Yeah, to Elijah, nothing compared to the anointing of the Lord.
Yeah.
And see, you know, that's... I mean, who was Elijah? I mean, Elijah was, what, a Tishbite?
I don't remember what he was.
Anyways, I mean, it wasn't like he was some famous, you know, guy that was in the government with all... I mean, he was nothing.
He was just a guy that read the word and believed it.
Absolutely. So, can any of us just read the word and believe it? Yeah.
Same terms as Abraham. Like, Abraham heard the word and believed it, but same thing. Same principle. And you know, the same outcome. God's got it in hand. God will provide a ram. And he reckons that to those particular those two, but all who will believe him, he reckons as righteousness. Let's believe what he says.
Absolutely. You know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, that that guy, I mean, he was nothing compared to the anointing of Elijah. And here we have, I mean, we have the same, let me put it that way, the same opportunity to walk in that same anointing. What we have right now is we have that line of authority. We have that line of authority, and by walking into submission under the Lord's way with faith in Him, we get to partake of that anointing and to operate it in it ourselves. And it's a beautiful thing. We have it all right around us. The opportunity is right there available for us. And it's not, it's a simple thing. Believe God, trust Him, submit, obey God. Submit under those that have the rule over you. It's just it's a simple thing. It's not complicated. The gospel's not complicated. Believe that His sacrifice, believe it to the point where you obey it, is good enough and has covered you. And man, do we can get that thing so complicated, so tangled, and we sit back many times when that challenge is faced before us, but you don't understand, Lord. And He's going, I do. I do. Now, I mean, it's really, you don't understand. He doesn't say that, but it just, I understand. He hasn't touched with anything that we haven't been touched with, but He stood without sin. Remember, to the sweating of blood. Resisted against sin to the sweating of blood. That was unbelief. He didn't want, I mean, not my will be done, Lord, but yours. He naturally didn't want to go to the cross, man, but he had to resist that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He had to resist that own want till he sweated blood. I mean, do we take the Lord serious? Do we submit unto His way? And what we have a lot of times is we can think we do, but we have all things around us. I mean, we have ministers over us and all these things to direct and to guide us and to not be in presumption in these things. To not be going so far right. We had no idea we were so far right. It's right there. Get ourselves. You're talking about checking yourself before that's it. You're talking about checking yourself before you wreck yourself. Man, you got the Word. You got His ministers. You got to check yourself with, man. Where am I at? Lord, am I going the wrong way? Am I going about this the wrong way?
You know, sadly, and this is me too, so just the fact that I see this just makes me accountable for it. And it's, you know, let me see where I'm going to start here. Some of the stuff Paul had to go through. First chapter of Philippians 15 starts, some indeed preach Christ even out of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now that's just a choice. Because Jesus matters. I don't.
Amen.
And if he gets preached as a result of what's happening to me, praise God. Now this is that attitude check, that checkup. But it ain't really. It's kind of like from the chest up. Because that's the chest is where the heart is. So. Let's see, where was I? For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's not to no profit. And this is about me understanding the character of the Lord I serve. That's basically tied up in that statement. And it's just something I expect because he's faithful and his word is true. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. What's it to me? My whole job here is to magnify Jesus Christ. However that happens, how well I wrap myself around that attitude, I don't know. But if, to the degree that's not my attitude, I have to confess. I have to repent every time it strays over into that neighborhood.
Amen.
Because in order to be successful, we have to be like him and have the same attitude.
Amen.
He charges having the same mind. Fulfill ye my joy that you made like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Everything's good. Everything's good. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I don't know. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and go to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. Every single one of us should be walking around with that attitude.
Amen. See, that's that part of the tribulation, work with patience, experience, and hope. And patience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And the struggle that you're going through, What does it matter? This is another point that came across me. What does it matter if it's for something, somebody else? Remember Paul, when he went, had the vision, goes down, gets thrown in prison. Paul and Silas praising God in there. They came out. It was the guy that was praying they was able to minister Jesus Christ to. Whatever the struggle is, it's not about you. What does it matter?
Isn't he the one they told him, don't do yourself any harm? Because we're here. We have not gone anywhere.
Right. I remember. And the redemption of the Lord. And is beautiful too, because there's a lot of times that I've learned a lot of lessons and gone through a hard time, not because only because I walked in disobedience unto the Lord, like David did that one time. And, I mean, that's not because, I mean, these things happened because I was in disobedience unto the Lord, and I knew clear it was just with rebellion, and these things came upon me because of that. But the lessons and the redemption of the Lord is so great. I remember that time.
You were talking about Hannah and Samuel. Samuel was the prophet transitioning between Saul and David.
Yeah.
And he was the one that was... He was a pretty important guy. If she hadn't honored her vow, you know, you wouldn't have that story. At least not like that. Not with those names.
Right.
The blessing that came out of that for them was immense.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at the obedience of each of these people that played their obedience as under the Lord, and how that played out was huge. And the fruit of that obedience was humongous.
The faith and trust she had in the Lord, she gave to him. He learned that from her. And enabled him to bring the word of the Lord to kings.
That's the point. If she never wasn't obedient to the promise.
Mm-hmm. That she, I mean, ultimately it was the Lord's work. But, I mean,
right.
The faithfulness was a testimony to him.
Right. But even the struggle, and I kind of want to go back to even the struggle. I mean, the struggle was not, I mean, we talked about how David was talking about, it's not the Lord that causes tribulation. That's not our Lord.
Right.
He's about peace and all these things. He allows tribulation so we can learn faith in him. You know, and we have that hope, and that hope makes
it not ashamed. The only position that we have clear testimony of is from Paul, where it says, I glory in tribulation. And that, there again, is an attitude that doesn't match a whole lot of people's experience. But he gloried in it because he knows what it delivers.
Amen. But you see, even in the where David did his thing, you see how the Lord can redeem any of these things.
Absolutely.
I mean, he honors faith and obedience. But he can also make that situation that was in rebellion and disobedience, and return, repent to him. He can redeem that to show others that they can take hold of that redemption. And that thing, you can see where he used David in that too. Why do we have Psalm 51? Something that is ministered many times. I mean, that is preached on many times and ministers us to this day. And what I'm, you know, kind of going to the point where I remember when that time at hand when I did something in disobedience. And what happened was, I'm at work. I am in manager at that time. My other boss was out for back surgery. And at that time, I had did something where I didn't show up for work. Or I should have. Didn't call, nothing. The consequence of that was I was got to one of the slower stores. Knocked down below everybody, you know, and it was pretty much everything was stripped. I mean, that was the judgment that came. I mean, praise God. Now, I could either buck against that judgment and think that that wasn't right, or I could humble myself and learn from that. And what I did was I humbled myself and learned. And not only did I, was it, it was like I was grateful that I still had a job. I was grateful for the mercy of the Lord for me to still have my job and for my family to still have some provision for them using that job necessary. I mean, I was grateful. And the lessons that I learned there. I mean, because the guys that were over me, that was managing, was guys I trained. And when I served them, I served them as unto the Lord. I wanted them to move. I wanted to help them in their position. I wanted to help them get better numbers. I wanted to help them succeed. Didn't matter to me one way a bit if I was... didn't matter. I just wanted them to succeed. I did everything I could to serve them as unto the Lord. I think they learned quite a bit too. And what you see, the Lord placed me in placed me back in the position that I was over a period of time. But I was able just this past week to share that with somebody. So they didn't have to go that far into something that could have been the case for them. And put in a situation that would have really not been fun for them. But I was able to share that. But would I trade that lesson for the world? I mean, God, was I glad that I disobeyed? No. I'm absolutely ashamed. But the lesson that I learned out of that?
Valuable.
Well, valuable. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. And so you see where the Lord... I mean, so how that comes about, where the Lord gets glorified, is all the time. It's all around you. So through your screw-ups, Lord gets the glory where it flips it right upside down. And the lessons you learn through there are valuable. David did. Through your obedience and trusting in Him, stepping forward in the things that He has for you. Which in turn, actually going forward again, was me trusting in Him and trusting His covering and trusting those
things. Enemy comes along and
obedience.
You unbelief.
What's that?
The enemy comes along in those circumstances and tries to feed you unbelief.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, you know, the Lord is like, Lord's not surprised by any of the things we do. Somebody had brought up in, I don't know, one of the Bible studies that we did, that he's...
you can't disappoint the Lord.
Can't
but you can please Him when you do.
But you can please Him. It's like, He didn't turn His back on David when he screwed up. And you know that because when David's, oh me, I have screwed up, and he goes to the Lord yet talked to him. You know?
Yeah. Not only did he talk
people
to
him. People aren't like that. People, you do something that harms people, they'll turn their back on you. You're dead to them, man.
Absolutely. But to the point of him showing the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed him the cross. You see, I forget which psalm it is, but you see laid out the Lord's perspective as he wrote that when he was up on that cross.
It's 24, 25, I believe.
So, yeah. And
one of the
I mean, what gets manifested there? The gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's where you can glory in tribulation. That's where you can...
We can glory in tribulation like Paul did, like he tells us to, if we love the Lord with all our mind, strength, soul, spirit.
That patience word, which is in that passage, is the same patience word that's in James chapter 1. But the trying of our faith worketh patience. And it's basically, to put it in simple terms, you learn how reliable the Lord, faithful and reliable the Lord is. And without having gone through this experience, it'd be something you knew academically and not something you had experienced.
Yeah, what you were talking about in Philippians, to what? Know Him. That's for you personally to know Jesus Christ, your Lord, personal, your Lord and Savior.
Absolutely.
Not because it's Davey's Lord and Savior, not because it's Steve's Lord and Savior, or Paul's Lord and Savior, or Scott's Lord and Savior, or James' Lord and Savior. No, because He's your Lord and Savior.
That I may know Him
in the power of His resurrection. And
it reminds me of the seven sons of Sivai.
Yeah.
I adjure you in the name of the God that Paul speaketh.
That worked real well for him, didn't it?
Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. But who are you? You know?
But
it's that personal relationship.
Amen. And that part where you're bringing up, you know, if you love God, And here's a kind of a clarifying moment on this, because sometimes we glory in tribulation if it's tribulation. Let me put it this way. If it's tribulation where it's that that tribulation, that it's the thing that the Lord is using, or the Lord allows so that you can learn some lessons.
You're saying if you realize it at the time?
No, let me put it this way. I mean, there's a place where we can just be in... Let me put it this way. There's a place where you can just be... You're having all this tribulation because you're outside of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it... I guess you can glory in the sense of it's just recognizing to you you're outside of his plan. You're outside of him.
If you love not your own life unto the death, you should see that. Make that connection. Glory in that tribulation. Come back in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a praise God, because it was the thing you walked out of his protection, all this stuff.
But if you're still loving your own life, then you're not loving the Lord with everything. And you're going to wind up out there outside.
And Paul, you know, he goes through 2 Corinthians 11. He goes through the kind of stuff he went through. That was tribulation, the shipwreck,
yep.
The being beat, 39 lashes, what did he say, 3 times? He had experienced tribulation, but it tightened his relationship to the Lord.
Amen.
He learned to trust him with everything, not just some compartments in his life.
Everything. And it boils down to everything, because you're not supposed to love your own life. And like you were saying, the attitude is, if I die and he be magnified, praise God. If I live and he be magnified, praise God. It's no, that your very salvation of your soul relies on him. Relies on him. And that part, it's not
man, your ability.
It's not, you don't glory because you're... You don't glory in tribulation because you're just bullheaded and you're out to get it, and because you just won't do what he's telling you to do. Don't glory in that, folks. That means turn the heck around.
Yeah, glory in rebellion.
That's not what it's saying there. And we can easily get with, and that's where it's the beautiful thing. We got disciples, we got ministers over us, we've got a beautiful thing here, is that we don't have to be, that tribulation just could be the thing that's at hand, and you trust the Lord, go through whatever the case may be. Or it could be a tribulation because you've walked outside his will. I mean, because it was the Lord's will that Paul go to where the Lord told him to go, and him to contact the guy that was praying to know the Lord. Do you see what I'm getting at? I'm not saying it was God's will that I got beaten, all these things. No, that's the world trying to stop him. That's the enemy trying to stop him. Well, he trusted in the Lord and so forth, and this thing came out, and he got to do his mission that has him. His faith got strengthened anyways in the midst of it. But there's a place where, you know, it's a beautiful thing that we don't have to be in presumption. We can check ourselves. Hey, man, you know, these things are going kind of awry. I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that, did this way. I mean, was that right? You know, Steve, was that right? Or who, like his baby, was that right? What do you think of that? I mean, I don't know. Went forward in this. It's kind of an interesting thing. I had that situation. I talked with a couple guys. Some things boiled up with a couple guys. Got to talk to both of them. It was a great resolve. And I said, oh man, that was pretty awesome. You know, I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, Jesus was ministered, counting his changes. You can see some growth going on in the midst of these things. But It was like a flashcard of like where I thought in presumption that I might have handled things right was absolutely, it was like a flashcard of, you know, all those things could have been absolutely wrong the way I handled those things. I mean, praise God, but we have that. I mean, we have what the Lord's provided us with is never ending. And if we don't walk in that which he's called us to be, or called us to do, let me put it that way, because it really makes no big difference to who we are. I mean, in the sense of what part of the body we play in, or whatever the case may be. But what we're called to do for him as his body, to go minister the gospel, I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, we got it all around us. So the availability is right there. The provision, like you were talking about this morning, the provision's right there. And there's really no excuse for us not to walk in it. I mean, if we not have to check yourself before you wreck yourself, we got all kinds of check systems that we can check before we go wrecking ourselves in some ditch that is unnecessary.
Absolutely. Well, we've only got maybe a minute or so. So let's get some closing thoughts. Anybody got anything? What's on your mind there, James?
I really don't have much. I apologize, Paul.
Okay. Anything else that anybody's boats here that they want to get out? It's been a good word. And, you know, checking our attitudes. If our mind is not as Paul says in Philippians, be of this mind, that's our attitude. That's what we choose to believe and do.
And if you're not there
speaking in the same things in love and that's our job. And being faithful to deliver the word of the Lord.
As Samuel would.
Keep that blood guiltiness off me. And, right, Samuel was. And then, I don't really know what happened to Samuel, but it was Nathan with Bathsheba and Uriah.
That gave David a chance to repent. Yeah. And look, I mean, guys, it's like, look, you're struggling with all these, have all these struggles. The Lord knows you struggle with these things. Go to the Lord. Go to Psalm 51. Go to create in me a clean heart. Go to the Philippians 2, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, give me the will. Strengthen my will to do thy will.
Amen.
All right, guys, it's time to say goodbye and have a great week out there, America, and the world.
Goodbye, everybody.
May the Lord bless everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
All right, we'll see you next week here, Lord willing.